Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
Camp Grinlow shut down the year after our last summer there. I remember the envelope arriving at the house, the way my mom read it twice before setting it down. That was it. No more summer. I met Max and Annie there. We were cabin 3 our first year, packed in tight with 5 others, none of whom we talked to anymore. We weren't friends right away. Max never shut up. He had a comment for everything and laughed hardest at his own jokes, which I found annoying. Annie was a nerd. She knew all the counselors' names by day 2. One night, Max and I snuck out during rest hour to pull a prank on cabin 7. Annie caught us slipping out and followed. We got halfway there before a flashlight beam caught us across the clearing. Max bolted. I froze. Annie stepped in front of me and said she had dropped a bracelet somewhere near the trail and we were helping her look for it. The counselor bought it, and we didn't get written up. Then, we became close friends. After camp, the 3 of us kept in touch. We borrowed our parents' phone, sent letters, and eventually got our own phones. For a while, we barely saw each other. Then we ended up at colleges close enough to take a train. After that, it just stuck. Max found a clip of drone video of the camp on a hiking channel and sent it to our group chat. The place looked gutted. Most of the cabins were collapsing and the docks were reduced to their frames. My stomach dropped. All the things that made the place feel alive. Campfires, night hikes, the games we played. Were gone. My phone buzzed with a message from Annie. I kinda miss it. You miss cold showers and sunstroke? Max replied. I miss what it was like being there, she wrote. With you two. The chat went quiet after that. I typed something and deleted it. A few minutes later, Max replied with, We should go. Annie replied, Seriously? Yeah, why not? One night, camp like we used to. I thought Max was messing around. Then I thought about it, and didn't hate the idea. We'd had fun there as kids, so why wouldn't we now? Going back as adults felt strange, but also kind of exciting. Can we just do that? I asked. Yeah, why not? We've still got tents, still know how to build a fire. Bring some marshmallows, tell stories, play the old games, he replied. There was a long pause, then Annie sent. Fine, but if it rains, I'm sleeping in the car. And that was that. As I pulled up, I noticed Annie. Her car was already pulled up off the gravel loop when I arrived, parked just far enough from the overgrowth to keep her tires clear. She was out of the car, arms crossed, lips pressed. I waved through the windshield, parked beside her, and stepped out. The air was cool, and there was a slight breeze that blew through. You're late, she said, not looking up. You're early, I grinned. She gave a half smile. Maybe I just won the race here. The trees had crept in closer than I remembered. The old sign that used to say Camp Grinlow in thick green letters was just a frame now, dangling splinters. Annie strolled over to the pit where the bell used to hang, poking at the weeds with her foot. You check the cabins yet? I asked. She shook her head. By myself? No way. I figured we'd do it together. 10 minutes later, we heard the crunch of tires, and Max's car rounded the bend. He parked crooked and got out, already chewing gum and wearing a huge grin. Took the scenic route, he said, slamming the door. And by scenic, I mean I stopped twice because I thought I saw a bear. One was a stump. One might have been a bear. You brought the tent, right? Annie asked. He patted the trunk. And snacks, and an old speaker. He looked around, nodding slowly. Weird how it feels smaller. It's not, I said. We're just bigger. Speak for yourself, Max said, adjusting the waistband of his shorts. I peaked in 8th grade. We know, Annie joked. We started toward the fire pit, catching up on each other's week. The trail was still there, but the trees leaned in low, branches low enough to catch his shoulders. Annie walked ahead of us, eyes on the ground, stepping over roots. To the left, the mess hall looked worse. The windows were gone, and it was missing a door. It was strange seeing it all like this. When we were kids, this place felt permanent, like it would always be waiting for us, just as we left it. But now, the building sagged under their own weight, paint stripped by years of weather and abandonment. When we reached the fire pit, it looked almost untouched. The benches had sunk a little, but were still there. The stones were scattered but familiar, scorched black the way we remembered. Still here, I said. Max dropped his bag beside a bench and stretched his arms overhead. Not bad. I thought we'd be pitching tents in a field of used needles. We stayed silent for a moment, letting it sink in. Max broke the silence first. All right. Who's up for some marshmallows? He pulled a bag from his pack and tossed it on the bench. I dug out some skewers we brought and passed them around. Annie knelt near the fire pit, clearing away old ash and leaves, and we got the fire going fast. The wood was dry enough, and the smoke drifted upward in lazy streaks. We roasted in silence at first, letting the heat take the edge off the air. Max burned his first one entirely black and proudly ate it in 2 bites. Annie laughed at him, and methodically turned us over the flame until it browned perfectly. You guys remember that game? I asked. Statues and songs? Max's mouth was full, but he mumbled something that sounded like a yes. Annie nodded, her eyes on the fire. I don't remember who made it up, I said. Oh, Councillor Reed? Annie piped up. Of course you still remember his name. Max rolled his eyes. The rules started coming back in pieces. One person stood at the end of the field with their back turned, humming a tune. Everyone else had to move toward them. If they caught you moving when they turned around and the hum ended, you were out. You used to cheat, Annie said, jabbing a skewer into Max's arm. Please, I played to win, Max said. It's called having tactics. Pushing people, tripping them, whatever it takes. You pushed me, twice, she whined. Both times you deserved it. You were getting cocky. I was 8. Exactly, you needed humbling. You didn't win, though, I added. I won once. No, you didn't, Annie and I said in unison. Max held up his hands. Look, just because my brilliance wasn't appreciated, doesn't mean it existed, Annie said. We laughed for a second, and it was like we'd never left. The fire crackled low, dipping into the quiet. Max leaned back, looking up at the darkening sky through the trees. Annie picked at the edge of a marshmallow bag, folding and unfolding the plastic in her lap. Then came a familiar tune, but this time it was a whistle. Annie sat upright. Okay, I know you hit your speaker, Max. Max tilted his head. You're kidding, right? That's not me. Seriously? I asked. You didn't cue something up on your phone? He held it up. Battery's almost dead. Been saving it. We all turned toward the trees where the sound had come from. The tune came again, the same rhythm we'd been talking about. Max gave Annie a look. You didn't rig something? Some timer or remote thing? She scoffed. Do I look like I brought a fog machine too? You brought backup marshmallows, he said. Anything's possible. He looked from one to the other, then grinned. All right, when are you planning this? Fess up. Annie snorted. If I went to that much effort, I'd be filming your reaction. Then it's you, Max said, pointing at me. You've been quiet. Not me, I said. I figured it was you. We stood there for a moment, the whistle drifting through the trees again. Shall we play? Max said with a smirk. We might as well. Annie raised an eyebrow. You're serious? What, are you scared? He grinned. No, she huffed, brushing past him. I just don't want to humor your prank. We stepped into the clearing. It hadn't changed much. The same wide circle that funneled into a straight part, into the trees. It was marked with half-buried stones, grass pressed low in patches. Max rolled his shoulders, like he was warming up for a race, as he walked forward toward the sound off in the trees. Then the whistling stopped, and we froze in place, grinning like idiots. Annie glanced over her shoulder and mouthed, "Still got it." Max had one foot lifted in the air. This is weirdly fun. A second later, the whistle started again, and this time we sped walked. Max bumped into me while trying to get ahead. Annie was already a few strides ahead of both of us. Her braid bounced off her back with each step, arms pumping like she was taking it way too seriously. Max laughed and tried to catch up. She's gonna win, I said. Not if I reach her, Max said under his breath, speeding up to get behind her. Grinning, Max reached out and shoved Annie just enough to throw her off balance. As she tumbled forward, the music stopped, and Max froze with his arms stretched out. Max! She screamed, stumbling forward as the whistling cut out. Her body seized, her knees locking, neck jerking upright. Her spine twisted so violently, we heard it pop. Her vertebrae bulged against the skin, her arms flung outward like she was being yanked, and a wet crack snapped through the air. Her body fell limp on the ground. Annie? I called out, horrified. Max remained frozen, the grin on his face melted. I didn't push her that hard, he stuttered, eyes frantic. Then the whistle started back up, like nothing had happened. We both rushed forward, dropping to our knees. Her body was curled unnaturally, one leg twisted under the other, arms splayed out ahead of her. Her face was frozen mid-breath, eyes wide, mouth half open. Max's hand hovered nearer, but didn't touch. She's not... I started, struggling to find my words. What the hell is happening? Max sputtered. I leaned over, pressed my fingers into her neck. But there was no pulse. I didn't know what I was expecting. She's dead. The words felt like they didn't belong to me, as if it wasn't real. Max backed up, shuddering. Maybe she... hit something, he said, looking past the body, scanning the dirt for a rock or a branch or anything, desperate for anything to prove he didn't hurt her. She didn't hit anything. I looked at Max, felt my throat tighten. You pushed her too hard. His head snapped toward me. It was a joke. No, it wasn't. My voice shook. You killed her. His mouth opened, but nothing came out. I watched it land on him all at once. The guilt, the weight of what he did. His jaw clenched. He looked down at her again and backed away, like distance would undo it. You always had to win, I spat, even now. The whistling stopped again. We both froze instinctively, breath stalled halfway in our throats. Annie's body was inches away, broken and bent. I couldn't look directly at her. I could hear Max swallow hard, chest barely rising. His hands were clenched at his sides, knuckles pale. The air buzzed with pressure. I felt it in my spine, in the tension creeping up my neck. Every second stretched longer than the one before. Then, the whistling returned. Same melody, same distance, carried on the wind like none of this had happened. My breath came out sharp, and Max broke. He took two steps back, fists in his hair, eyes wide, like they were trying to blink away what we were both seeing. No, 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 no. This can't be real, he began. His voice pitched higher than I'd ever heard it, words spilling out faster. She was fine. I swear to God, we were messing around. I didn't push her that hard. He turned from me, walked a short circle, then spun back. His mouth moved like he had more to say, but nothing came out. His shoulders dropped. Then he hit his thigh with the side of his fist so hard it made a dull thud. She laughed when I burnt the marshmallow. I was going to give her grief for it later. He looked at the clearing, then at me, and then up into the trees. We were supposed to hang out this weekend. That's all, not this. He swallowed, wiped his face roughly with both hands, and took one glance at Annie's body. Then he turned and said, "Screw this. I'm not doing this." "Max?" "No," he snapped. "I didn't hurt her, I swear." He turned and started walking back toward the campfire, fast. Just as he stepped over the stone edging, his body arced hard, like something yanked upward from his spine. The twist was fast, and his feet lifted from the ground as his back contorted violently. There was a low crack, then a snap. Max's arms flailed once, then dropped. His legs folded in on themselves. He hit the ground. I screamed, still crouched over Annie. He landed face down, limbs crooked. From where I sat, I could see the base of his neck bent too far. I blinked hard, stared through the flickering light at the edges of the fire where his body lay, crumpled and slack. And realization washed over me. He hadn't killed Annie. The way she fell and twisted, there was no way that he did that. Especially since he met the same fate as soon as he left the game boundaries. Fear sent pinpricks of electricity through my body, and an ominous feeling washed over me. Whatever this was, it wasn't natural. and it had something to do with the game and the whistling. If I wanted to survive, I had to play. My hands, my back, my legs, all of me trembled. When the whistling started back up, it scraped across my nerves. I could still hear Annie's voice in my head, Max's laugh. The bodies weren't even cold, and I was already thinking like I was the only one left. I pressed my hands into the dirt and begged myself to keep breathing. This was real. This was happening. And I had to finish it. I held my stance. Every part of me wanted to run, to curl into myself, to scream. But the rules were clear. I couldn't move. It stopped, and it felt like the pause dragged out. My knees were tight. I blinked once, slow and dry. Then, the whistling started up again. I forced myself up and started to take shaky step after shaky step. The distance between me and the whistling shrank. I could make out a figure in the dark distance, its arms hung low and close to its sides. The space between us was still wide. I didn't know how many rounds there would be or how close I had to get, but the thought of making it all the way forward, reaching out and placing a hand against the thing's body felt impossible. But that was the rule. You reach the host and touch them. That's how you won. That's what I had to do. The rhythm carried me forward again. I moved with it, one step at a time. Every shift of weight deliberate. Every breath matched to the space between each whistle. I was getting closer now. The thing ahead had shape. The dim glow of the campfire passed through uneven slits carved deep into its chest, casting faint beams into the undergrowth. Every time it exhaled, a thin column of air passed through those holes, and the whistle came with it. I felt it scrape along my spine. My eyes kept drifting to the lines of its body. The exposed ribs, the stiff posture, the way it stayed fixed in place, like it was waiting for me. I tried not to think about the final rule, that I'd have to touch it. Then, my heel struck something, maybe a root or a stone, buried just enough to catch the edge of my foot. My balance pitched, my arms shot forward, but I was too slow. My ankle rolled underneath me, and I landed hard on my knees and hands. Pain surged up my leg. The ground pressed into my palms. The whistle cut out. My vision blurred. My ankle throbbed in sharp pulses. But I stayed frozen, arms shaking from the fall. Dirt and rocks pressed into the raw skin of my hands. Every second that passed made my chest tighter. I could feel the pulse of my neck hammering against the stillness. I started to imagine my death if I failed. What part would break first? Would it twist my head like Max's, or tear through me the way it had Annie? And then what? Would anyone find us here? Would it be days later, after the car sat too long in the gravel pulling? Would the ranger's office even bother to look past the sign? I thought about my parents. I thought about Annie's mom. I thought about the three of us walking to the mess hall on our first day, all of us sunburned and trying to act cooler than we were. Max had carried a plastic lightsaber in his bag and pretended it was an accident. Annie had rolled her eyes and corrected the names of all the counselors when we got them wrong. That first week, we had barely spoken, but somehow we'd ended up here, years later, together. And now, they were gone. The whistle started again. I clenched my teeth and tried to push myself up. A spike of pain ran through my foot, white hot and deep. My ankle had twisted in the fall, badly. I put a little weight on it and felt the strain in my joint. I would have to limp the rest of the way. I'd have to keep perfect rhythm, stay completely still, and make it to the thing on a busted ankle. I blinked the sweat from my eyes, swallowed hard, and started forward again. The pain made it harder to time my steps. Each pause left more weight on the ankle than I could stand. But I kept moving. I had to. The distance between us was maybe 30 feet now, maybe less. Every whistle came with a fresh jolt of dread. But it also meant I was still playing, still alive. That counted for something. I kept my eyes low, trying not to look at it again. The way it stood so still, waiting. Each breath it took dragged through its chest like wind through loose panes. A few more rounds and I'd reach it. If I could hold my balance, if the ankle didn't give. I moved again, half step, wait, another. The whistle stopped. I froze with my heel halfway up, struggling to settle it flat without shaking. The muscle in my leg seized. I could feel it trying to twitch, trying to collapse under me. I let my heel sink gradually, waited for the whistle to return. The sound of my pulse louder than the crickets or the wind. The whistle came again. I moved, one step, then another. My ankle buckled slightly, but I caught myself. I was close now, 10 feet, maybe less. The shape stood tall, still, arms set close to its sides. Every breath it took pushed another note into the air. I stopped, weight on one foot, and stared. I could almost see its hands, long fingers curled slightly inward. My hand was slick with sweat. I wiped it against my jeans, braced myself, and stepped forward again and again. 5 feet, 3, close enough to see the seams between its ribs, the way the skin held taut around the frame. There was a smell like warm metal and moss. I felt it in my throat. One more step. I didn't want to see it any clearer than I already had, didn't want to remember its shape when I closed my eyes later. I kept them open one last breath, then shut them tight and reached. My fingers landed on something solid and the whistle stopped. I stayed frozen, hands still pressed forward, every nerve wound tight. My chest hurt from how hard my heart beat. The pain in my ankle flared, steady and sharp. Minutes passed with no sound, no whistling, but I kept my palm planted where it was, resting against it. But finally, I grew impatient, curious, so I peeled my eyes open. The thing was gone. And I was touching a tree. It took a few seconds for it to register that it was just a trunk, tall and rough and solid, nothing strange about it, no gaps in the wood. At first, I hoped I had imagined it all, but my ankle still screamed, hot and deep. And when I turned around, limping slowly, dragging the weight of my body behind me, I saw the truth. The fire still burned low, the shadows flickered, and the bodies of my best friends were right where I'd left them. Annie's twisted spine, Max's bent limbs. The firelight danced over their skin like it didn't care what had happened, like this was any other night. I collapsed just outside the circle, legs giving out beneath me. All at once, the emotions I'd shoved into a corner to stay alive came crawling back, flooding my chest and throat, too fast to stop. Then I sobbed from the terror, from the pain, from the sick throb of loss that settled into the center of my chest. I cried for Annie and Max, for the marshmallows we didn't finish, for the game we never should have played. I cried because I lived.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.